No, it is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. And amen. We thought we were going to get an early spring. I'm sorry. It's not going to happen. I don't know why we do this to ourselves. We get our hopes up every spring. It's like, oh, it's coming. It's 40 degrees. The snow's melting. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be warm. And no, we live in Alaska, people. We live in Alaska. It's going to be cold until June. But either way, it's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. So thankful that you made it here safely this morning. We're going to get right into the Word of God this morning and continue our lessons from history for Christian living. Lesson four this morning, committed, not conceited. Anybody conceited this morning? Don't raise your hand. Let everybody know how conceited you are. Anybody committed this morning? I think anybody that's out in the house of the Lord on an early Sunday morning on a cold winter day is committed to the house of God. Amen. I'm so thankful that you're here. We'll be looking at a story of Deborah, a prophetess, one of the judges in Israel. And I don't know if you've noticed by the name, it's not a gentleman. This is Old Testament, a judge who is a woman, which is awesome, absolutely amazing. I think some of the wisest people I know are women. My mom, for one, extremely wise. She's a woman, just in case you were wondering. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. If anybody's got a smile or a little bit of joy of the Lord this morning, please go ahead and let that come to your face. Don't just bottle that up. Keep that all inside. You know, eventually it'll explode. Just let that come right to your face and enjoy the smile this morning. Amen. We're going to look at our focus verse. You can read through that story. That story is found in Judges chapter 4 and chapter 5. We're going to go right to our focus verse, 1 Corinthians 3 and 9. It says, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building." Laborers together with God. Our focus thought, committed leaders work together in unity to ensure a successful outcome for the work of God. So thankful today for godly, committed leaders in our life. Amen? All right. Successful leaders today are not necessarily extroverted, highly gifted, intelligent people. Unless you're talking about me this morning, that'd be fine to say all those wonderful things about me. But all leaders today are not that way. They're not the extroverted, the highly gifted, the highly intelligent people who tower over the abilities of others. That is not what makes a successful leader today. A leader is anyone who can inspire others to use their talents to get the job done. Collaboration, emotional intelligence, and networking are important. A career advisor, this is Gary Erickson speaking in this culture connection this morning, said a career advisor told me that job interviews today are focused more on how well a prospective leader gets along with others. And I can tell you that this is the case. In my job interview, a lot of the questions were about process and all of those kind of things that you have to know on my job. But the biggest thing was, how well do you get along with people? I mean, I am literally trapped on a facility for a week at a time with a group of men and women, maybe 12 to upwards to 50 people trapped on this facility. They need to know how I'm going to get along with people. how I'm able to connect with people. Can I work easily with people, or every day do I have a problem with somebody, or do I have an attitude about something and cause issues and trouble? They wanted to know how well I was able to get along with people and have unity on the team. Unity on the team. The corporate world is different from the church in many ways, but effective leadership principles are prevailing virtues. Respect for others, teamwork, integrity, willingness to sacrifice, a good work ethic. My, is that ever lacking in today's society? Communication skills, a positive attitude, also an area that needs great work. And decisiveness, decide to do a job, do it well, have good work ethic. Those are things that are principles of being a good leader. One of the most important virtues of a leader is the ability to work in unity with others, encouraging team members to use their talents towards achieving goals. Just as the corporate world needs good leaders, our church needs good leadership. Amen? And I believe we've got good leadership. Amen? Hallelujah. It's kind of hard to beat Brother and Sister Glover. Amen. Phenomenal pastors, great leaders, have a vision, cast the vision. Amen. A lot of us are on board, 100%. Go, Pastor, go, Pastor, go, Pastor. We're behind you, 100%. Amen. And we'll do everything that we possibly can, and we're going to talk about that today. Amen. All right. Paul said that we are a body fitly framed together, each individual serving a specific function in the body. God uses all kinds of people. Looking out there for a few examples of different kinds of people. And you all are different kinds of people. You know who you are this morning. You are different kinds of people. Amen. You are all special in your own way. Amen. But you all are unique individuals, and you all play a part, a very important part, of what goes on in this body. Amen? God used a woman named Deborah to defeat Israel's enemies. He used a shy man named Moses to lead the Hebrews to the promised land. He used a warrior named David to lead Israel as their king. He used a fisherman named Peter to be the presenter at Pentecost. He used a scholar named Paul to turn the world upside down with the gospel. God can use anyone with any talent, with any abilities. God can use anyone. He's not asking us to all be the same. God can use you. Amen? Thank the Lord for that, because otherwise I would not be used. I am extremely odd, unique, special, whatever term I know you guys call me when I'm not around. God can even use me. Some people today may believe that spiritual and secular leadership are alike. However, spiritual leadership is vastly different from secular leadership. This generation has seen an explosion of secular leadership seminars. There are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of seminars and books and people, motivational speakers, talking about leadership. Maxwell is one that's got some phenomenal stuff out there. And all of these principles are, it's good stuff. It's good motivating stuff for anybody that is aspiring into leadership and wanting to do more in their personal life and leading others. All of these things are pretty good things to know. But It is just a little bit different. Leadership in the kingdom of God is of even greater importance. It's not about how much money you can make or how much production you can make. And even though we are keeping record of cards that we're handing out and prayer and fasting and Bible studies and all of these kind of things, it's more important than that. It's more important than just the number on the page. I mean, souls are at stake. Amen? It's more important than that. And it's all good to keep track of how we're doing in our progress and all of that kind of stuff. Very excited about what God is doing. Amen? In our Easter effort. Amen? Anybody else excited about what God is doing in our Easter effort? Amen? Just sidetrack here. There's always that, do I have time to get my wallet out and get a card going? So I'll throw one in my pocket. But I was at the bank the other day, and I said, I haven't met that teller. So there was three open. So I went to one that I didn't know already. And she said, oh, we're new. I said, well, you know, our church is celebrating our 50th anniversary this year. And I gave her a card. And did our little banking transaction. And just before I left, she said, you know, my husband was just mentioning the other day that we needed to find a church to go to. Hallelujah. So we need to pray that every card, every contact, every time we are bold enough to hand the card and talk about how great our church is, it should be a hard thing to do because we have a great church. That every time we hand that card, that God would minister to that person, amen, and speak to their hearts, amen, that they would come to know him more, in Jesus' name. So, where did that come from? Oh, we were talking about souls are at stake, and spiritual leadership has greater value, greater importance than secular leadership. How glorious it would be if human beings would strive to work in harmony with their leaders. Just as the heavenly beings work in harmony with their leader. We use God as our supreme example. And see in heaven all of the angels working in harmony with what God casts forth as vision. Amen? And we know what happened when one decided not to be in unity with what God's vision was. They weren't around long. And everyone that decided to follow went with them. We see Lucifer being kicked out. But with God in the center, in control, as our example of leadership, and seeing the angels being in unity with that purpose of one mind and one purpose, that is our example. And just as in our local assembly, we have a pastor, and we need to be in unity with that vision that is being cast. Amen? And being behind and being supportive and being everything that we can be and using all of our abilities and all of our talents that God has given us in our own special and unique ways and support our spiritual leadership. Amen? All right. Glad I got one person on board this morning. Amen. Now, a judge was a leader. We're going to be in the next few lessons. We're going to be talking about Deborah. We're going to talk about Gideon. We're going to talk about Samson. In the next few weeks. But a judge was a leader. Man or woman, they were chosen by God to drive out the oppressors and to give rest to land and people. That was the purpose of the judge. We have Deborah and we have Barak. And he was a warrior. Deborah was not a warrior. She was a judge. And people would go to her when there was an issue. Well, there was an issue. There was a mighty army and great people that were basically taking everything, and Poor Israel was living in the hills, and things were not going all that well for them. And there was a lot of issues in Israel in that time. Well, one of them being they were so commingled with the Canaanites. That's kind of an issue. But it was time for something to be done. And Deborah was not the warrior, but Barak was, or Barak, however you want to say that this morning. But he was a warrior. So there was a reaching out to a warrior and a judge, and they had to come together in unity and work together to defeat the enemy of Israel. Amen. And through this lesson, we'll kind of talk about it all. But the whole point of even that in their coming together, it wasn't about giving the warrior or the judge any credit or glory in any of that. The main goal was that all glory was going to be given to God. Amen? But it took them working together in unity. A judge is chosen. Diversity of leadership. God's plan has always been to place godly, committed visionaries and leaders in front of his people, leading who follow him as their ultimate leaders who follow him as their ultimate guide. What did Paul say? Follow me as I follow Christ. So, if you have somebody who claims to be a spiritual leader in your home or in your church or in your life, yet they don't put Christ first, and that is not their ultimate leader, then I don't know how much faith and trust I would put in following somebody that did not put God completely first in their life. Amen? A godly leader puts Jesus Christ first and foremost in their life. God understands timing. Did you know that? God understands timing. His timing is perfect. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. He understands timing for leadership is critical. Every generation is different, and so are their needs. This generation is so much more different than my generation and the generation before, and the generation before, which was referred to as the greatest generation. That would be World War II, that era. And then my parents came along, and through the 50s, and their rock and roll music that destroyed the world and all this kind of stuff. Their rock and roll music, we laugh at it now, because the rock and roll music of today, with the content that's in some of it today, doesn't even compare to Good Golly Miss Molly. Doesn't have anything to do with that, you know. But each generation is so different, and each generation God raises leaders in a timely manner that is capable of leading that generation. And so it's the preachers, when brother and sister men who were my pastors growing up, when they pioneered works in Nova Scotia, they dealt with things. They got rocks thrown at them. Their tent was tore down. They were kicked out of cities and all kinds of crazy stuff. We don't have to deal with that today. Not as much anyways. We haven't had anybody try to tear down our building or run us out of town. But we deal with things today that they didn't have to deal with back then. And so each generation requires godly leadership given in a timely manner to deal with the issues of the day. We should honor and respect and defer to whomever God places in spiritual leadership over us. Is that an easy thing to do? Sometimes. sometimes. Can we be honest with ourselves today? It's not always easy. It's not always easy to say, yes, Pastor, I'll clean out the trash. Yes, Pastor. But I'm called to preach, Pastor. Not clean the toilets. Uh-oh. Is it easy to always follow our spiritual leadership? But Pastor, I'm not good at handing out cards. Anybody here today good at handing out cards? I'm really good just walking into Fred Meyer and taking a handful. I could do that and run out the door. It's not always easy. It's easy to honor and respect. Not always easy to defer to whomever God places in spiritual. Allow them to lead us. Have a right attitude, a right spirit behind our leadership. It's not always easy to do that. But we can do it with God's help. Amen. And if our desire is to please God and our leadership is following the direction of God, it should be easy to follow our leadership. Amen. We want to be in unity, following our leadership as he follows Christ. Amen. The character of a leader. Every leader is just a little bit different. Character is the color of the inner man. And these are as diverse as the colors of the rainbow. Some individuals have no backbone and refuse to stand for anything substantial. Some have angry and hateful and spiteful spirits. Don't be pointing fingers this morning. Some lack courage. In contrast, some people are full of integrity, loyalty, and righteousness. God alone knows the true color of a person's character. There's been many, many people that have been fooled by leaders. Leaders of powerful cults have got a way of connecting with people and inspiring people to follow them, even if their direction that they're giving seems crazy. Yet they have hundreds of followers who would do anything for that leader. God alone knows the true colors of a person's character. I'm so thankful today that we have leadership that puts Christ at the focus, Christ at the center. Amen. Good leaders bring out the best and the truest colors of their followers. Amen. That's what a good leader does. Brings out the best in people. Amen. Do you want to be the best that you can be? Amen. Hallelujah. I know it's only 10:30 in the morning. Hallelujah. But I'm sure that one or two of you have had at least one cup of coffee. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. So a good leader brings out the best and truest colors of their followers. Through Scripture, there are all kinds of examples of leaders, good and bad. We see Adam right out of the chute, Genesis. Adam had some good leadership qualities. Name the animals. That was a task. Take care of this wonderful garden. Huge task. But when it came down to making a decision, not so good. Not so good. Well, Eve gave it to me. No backbone. We have Saul, first king of Israel. Could have been a great leader. Could have been an amazing leader. Yet, he decided to disobey God. Went a little crazy for a while. Wasn't good for him. Judas could have helped establish the church and evangelize the world. Instead, he gave everything up for a little bit of money. David, the mighty King David, he had some great features as well. He also had some great weaknesses. But what I like about David's leadership is, even though he had weaknesses in his life, he continued to get back up. And that is what is remembered of David's kingship, was that he continued to get back up. Esther was also a great leader. Somebody that didn't consider themselves a leader at all. But she was called for such a time as this. And she performed everything that she needed to perform with integrity and saved a people. We as Christians should understand that every leader has distinct leadership characteristics God desires to match to specific needs at specific times. Many Christians will follow and obey leadership only when they agree with and relate to it. You know what that shows? Spiritual immaturity and personal pride. We used to have an issue. It's not an issue here because churches are so far away, but we used to call them church hoppers. Good people, great people. But when something was preached that they didn't agree with, they'd go find a pastor that was in a close enough church that they could drive to and go there for a while. And then they would go until something was preached or something was said that they didn't agree with. And then they'd end up over at this church, over here. Because, well, that pastor's really nice, and they took us out to lunch on Sunday. And this is going to be great. God's going to move. And we're going to get plugged into this church over here. And then something would be said, and they would hop to the next church. They were really good followers, except when it went against something that they thought should be. It shows spiritual immaturity and personal pride. Our responsibility as Christian servants is to allow God to place in leadership those whom He knows can get the job done, and then to simply follow and obey. God, help us to follow and obey the leadership you have placed in our life. Amen? I don't want to just be a yes man. I don't want to be just a yes man. I want to do it from a heart of love. I want to do it because I really do want to follow my leadership. I don't want just the word. I don't want lip service. I don't want just, yes, Pastor, I'll do. Yes, Pastor, I'll do. Yes, Pastor, I'll do that. And the whole time have an angry, horrible, bitter attitude inside saying, man, I wish my pastor would stop asking me to shovel the driveway. Or I want to do it with a willing heart, saying, yes, Lord, I'll do it. Yes, Lord, I want to do it. I want to do your will. I want to follow the leadership that you have placed in my life. Amen. Commitment of leadership. Nothing can be accomplished without commitment. Nothing can be accomplished without commitment. For example, Acts 20:24. Paul remained committed to his mission until his last breath. He said in Acts 20:24, none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. And the ministry, which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. In contrast, a character named Demas, he was involved, but not committed. Involved, but not committed. Paul called him a fellow laborer. So thankful this morning that I have fellow laborers with me today. Amen? Working towards the goal. A fellow laborer. Yet, 7 years later, near the end of Paul's life, he mourned over the defection of Demas. 2 Timothy 4:10, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Paul was committed. Demas was merely involved. Now, another story that illustrates this wonderfully is the pig and the chicken concerning breakfast. The chicken is involved by giving the egg. The pig is committed. Amen? Yeah, so you get the picture. Many people like Demas readily become involved in the kingdom of God, but when it comes to committing themselves, they back away silently. Yes, Pastor, I want to do anything, everything. Just let me know what it is, and Pastor gives us a list. A list. And we slowly back away. Slowly back away. They avoid doing anything that involves self-sacrifice. Oh God, help us. Get self out of the way. Luke 9:62, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. When God chooses followers and leaders, he always looks for commitment. The rich young ruler had so much stuff. Could have very easily have given it all to the poor, followed Christ. God probably would have blessed him just like he blessed Job. And had a phenomenal ministry and continued to bless people. There was no commitment. No commitment. Walked away sorrowfully. So God always looks for commitment. Always looks for commitment. Choosing a coworker. Now, anybody here would like to change their coworkers? Or choose a different coworker, or no one? Okay, good. Everybody works with the best people in the world. Deborah invited Barak. True leaders are aware of the weight and the complexity of their responsibilities and understand they cannot accomplish everything themselves. Leaders who try to do everything themselves will eventually burn themselves out and fail. I don't want my pastor to fail. How many times has he invited me to help with something? How many times has he invited you to help with something? It's not just to give you something to do. Well, maybe if I can just keep them busy. They'll just keep serving God. Keep them busy. No. There's a lot that needs to be accomplished when reaching this world. Every hand is needed. Every life is needed. Every talent is needed. We need to pool our energies together our talents, our abilities together, and we make a complete body, and we're able to function healthy and do what God wants this church to do. Amen? Amen? So Deborah gives an invitation. I'm a judge here, but I need a warrior. I need somebody to come in and do something that I'm not capable of doing for myself. And his response is this in Judges 4:8. If thou wilt go with me, then I will go. If you'll go with me, I will go. Pastor asks, can you do this? Pastor, I'm not sure if I can do that, but if you'll help me, I can do it. I can do it. If you'll help me, I know I can do that. If you'll keep me accountable, stay on my toes, I know I can do it. I know I can do it. I think I skipped the transparency. Number two. So Barak was the man for the mission. But he drew confidence in Deborah's vision, faith, and spiritual leadership. I know that there are many people here today, including myself, that lack confidence in the talents that God has given us. And this is an area that we really, truly can lean on our spiritual leadership to help us in areas of weakness, areas where we know we lack confidence. Say, I'll do it, Pastor. I'll do it. I'll do it if you'll go with me. If you'll help me, if you'll keep me on my toes. We can draw strength from our spiritual leadership. Amen? Visionary leaders inspire and energize people, giving them confidence that the vision will become reality. How many years did we talk about this property over here? A long time. Did anybody ever give up? You don't have to be honest with me this morning. Would have been very easy to give up and say, you know what, it's never going to happen. It's never going to happen. It's never going to happen. Well, just within the last, what, month? Has it been that long? That property over there, which is the exact same dimensions as this property right here, is ours. It's not just ours, but it's ours. It's paid for. Hallelujah. It's ours. Hallelujah. And so now, there is nothing preventing us from turning this into a sanctuary that will seat 1,000. I don't even know if there's that many people in Sterling. Is there 1,000 people in Sterling? Amen. But it's been a vision of pastors to purchase that property so that we could expand and have more room for everything that we need, and so that we can better serve our community and better serve the people around us. And it came to pass. Hallelujah. Visionary leaders inspire and energize people, giving them confidence that the vision will become reality. Second level leaders then convey the vision to volunteers who provide the necessary hands and feet to accomplish the objective. Amen. It takes team effort. It takes working together in unity. Satan knows the potential of people who love each other and are working side by side. He will do everything in his power to shove a wedge in their unity and stop the will of God. We can avoid disruptions by learning to recognize the work of the enemy and refusing to allow anything to come between us and our godly leadership. That is so important. All it takes is just a little wedge. Well, Pastor said he was going to do that and told me to do this, and I did this, and it's not like he didn't even notice that I did it. Wow. Just that. The next time Pastor asks you to do something, not so willing anymore. When it was just either maybe an oversight, or maybe it was nothing. Maybe it was just the enemy getting into your mind and saying, Pastor didn't really appreciate what you did. When the whole time he's bragging to somebody else about, man, you should have seen what they did. It was phenomenal. Right? Anything to disrupt the unity. And that's what the enemy will do. And if you recognize that, say, you know what? Get thee behind me, Satan. There is not an issue between me and my pastor. I don't care how much you try to distract me from it. My pastor loves me. I love my pastor. I will follow my spiritual leadership. Amen? Hallelujah. That's good preaching this morning. We are driven by commitment. We're driven by commitment. We have to keep the vision in focus. Believe God would do what he said he would do and keep fighting until we achieve victory. Keep fighting until we achieve victory. Most Christians truly desire to do something for Jesus, but many lack the commitment to stay on task until the goal is realized. Our flesh wants attention and praise, but rarely desires to pay the price of commitment. Leaders and followers alike must be willing to lay down their life, pick up their cross, follow Jesus. No matter where he leads. No matter where he leads. Personal agendas, just throw them out the window. Well, if I do this for the church, that will position me so that the next time position on the board comes up, I'll be able to weasel my way in there, and I'll be able to... Personal agendas. Our agenda should be God's agenda. Our pastor's agenda is God's agenda. Our agenda should be our pastor's agenda, which is God's agenda. You see in the line here? Personal agendas, get them out of the way. Get them out of the way. Follow what God wants in our lives. Philippians 3:16, let us walk in the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Unity today brings victory. Transparency 3, very quickly. Victory is achieved when leaders take the initiative and then are joined by people who follow them willingly. Victory is achieved. Something very simple, our Easter effort. Pastor cast the vision. One card a day. 2.5 minutes of prayer, 3 times a day. Right? 3 times a day. And what did that work out to? I can't remember. It was close. It was about 1 hour a week. And then fasting, 1 day a week. I think we were doing, we can do it any way you want, but we were doing supper to supper, something of the sort. Bible study, trying to achieve one Bible study a week. And that can be as simple as sitting down, sharing a scripture. Simple as sharing a scripture. That was cast. Many have caught that vision and are continuing on doing the vision. And we will see results. We will see victory. We will see victory. We will see souls saved because of our effort. Amen? Do you believe that this morning? It may seem like such a simple thing. Yet it was a vision that was cast. And when we all get on board in unity behind our pastor, we will see the results that we want to see. It works. It works. Let's stand this morning. It works. Hallelujah.